Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
How many of you know personally anyone who has won the Publishing Clearinghouse sweepstakes? I don't see any, my hands on one up. Am I the only one who knows anyone of that nature? Well, I must be, because I do. There is a family. He is about 80 years old. His wife, probably, and I don't know her age. They are members of the Taft congregation where I just held a gospel meeting. And in February of 2007, won $10 million in the Publishing Clearinghouse sweepstakes. I'm sorry, I do not have a check to pay for our building. But she made a statement to me. She said, "You know, Larry," she said, "we are not any happier today than we were before we won the sweepstakes." And I said, "Do you know the reason why that is?" And she said, "Well, no, why is that?" I said, "Because you were happy before you won the sweepstakes, and money does not make you happy. Their lifestyle is not any different today than it was 3 years ago when they won the sweepstakes. He is a shoe repairman." I said, "You're still repairing shoes?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "If I'd have known that, I'd have brought my shoes." But here's the point I want you and I to see. And she said, let me tell you the difference that it has made in our life. I said, "All right. Where's that difference?" She said, "We have been able to do some things for other people that we were not able to do prior to that time." She said, "Especially, of course," she said, "we've been able to send all of our grandchildren to college. And we have the resources now that all of our grandchildren will have the resources in order to go to school." And so the question then came to my mind. I had been studying on our lesson for today prior to this. But then the question came to my mind, and that is this: what if you and I had won the Publishing Clearinghouse sweepstakes? You see, because, ladies and gentlemen, when you and I look at the Bible and we look at the New Testament, what I had done earlier, I had gone back and I had read again the great Sermon on the Mount of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you and I read those three great chapters in the New Testament, and we find that the Bible says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn." The Bible says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Or when you and I hear our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter number 7, when He says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing." Or we hear our Lord Jesus say, "Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again." Or we hear Jesus say that it hath been said by them of old time, "But I say unto you." And you and I look at the Sermon on the Mount and we say, "You know, man, there are so many great things. As you would that men should do unto you, do you even so unto them." Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 12. Or when you and I read about that we're not to pray to be seen of men. And so when you look at that Sermon on the Mount, I went back and I began to look at some of the passages of Scripture in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I wanted to see, what did the Lord have to say about our mastery of money? You see, ladies and gentlemen, all of us have an income. Every one of us, and somehow or another, it may be small, it may not be great, we have an income. Some way or another, you and I are able to maneuver on a day-to-day basis, a week-to-week basis, a month-to-month basis. There may be some who say, I've got too much month left at the end of the money. I do not have enough to go around. I am not able to do this. Others say, "Well, I have a little bit left over here and I can do this or that." Ladies and gentlemen, it is when you and I began to learn how to master the resources that God has given to us. How do you master that money? Some of the passages in Matthew, in that great Sermon on the Mount, I thought of this one. In Matthew chapter number 5, Jesus said in verses number 23 and 24, He said, when you go to the altar and you take your gift to the altar and you remember. I thought this was kind of interesting that someone has aught against thee. Now I want you to think about this a second. Jesus said, you leave that gift at the altar. He didn't say, okay, man, stick that muck back in your pocket and hightail it out of there and you get that thing straightened out. Then you No. He said, leave the gift at the altar. What is he saying? I'll tell you what I believe part of it is what he's saying in Matthew chapter 5. He is simply saying that number one, Larry Acuff has a responsibility to bring a gift to the altar. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you and I can thank God. We can pray and thank God for all of our blessings day in and day out. But the resource behind those thoughts, and when we look at our mastery of money, and then I show my love and appreciation. When you and I look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 5, and that is the concept that we come to the altar with a gift. You see, there are a lot of individuals in life and they do not come to the altar with a gift. And you and I show our love and appreciation in doing that. Then I looked at another passage of Scripture. And that's found in the book of Matthew chapter... These are all Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus taught a lesson. He said, when you give alms, do not sound the trumpet. Our Lord Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount, He is saying, do not be like these hypocrites and these Pharisees. What were they doing? They were giving in order to be seen of men. Not to do that. If you and I go to the book of Matthew again, chapter number 7. I'm going to come back to Matthew 6 in a second. In Matthew chapter number 7, we find that Jesus gives this brief message in verses 7 through 12. And that is, and I'm just going to draw the point out of it, and that is, he says that our heaven, if we know how to give good gifts unto our children, you remember that song? It's a country song. Or at least I've heard country artists sing it. Now, I don't know who wrote the song or who else does it, but Christmas time is coming. Have you seen the advertisement on television for one of the stores that now has a layaway program? And your boys and girls, your children, they look at mom and dad and they say, here's what I want, quotation marks, for Christmas. And mom and dad scrounge around and they will do whatever they can do in order to get it. And Jesus said, if you and I know how to give good gifts, what about our Father who is in heaven? He knows how to give good gifts. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the question I may have with Larry Acuff is this. Am I hindering God from giving good gifts to me? I want to give you three things now. Back up with me to Matthew chapter number 6, verses 19 through 34. If you have a copy of the Bible. The Bible says, beginning verse number 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Look what he says in that next verse. He says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Look at the next verse. The light of the body is the eye, and if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Next verse. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now then, look at verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, all right? I got 3 points very quickly. Number one, I want you to look at the keys to mastering your money. You want to master your money? Does Larry Acuff want to master his money? Key number one, lay up my treasures in heaven. You see, ladies and gentlemen, how do I do that? If I put Christ first, Matthew 6:33, he goes on to say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. I promise you that most of the time in the lives of most Christians, that when you and I find ourselves in difficult situations, that when we find ourselves in these situations, we think of Christ first. How do I know that? Because that is generally the first thing that is cut in Larry's budget. The Bible says that'll be never. That the first thing, because you see, if I lay up treasures in heaven, all right, key number one, laying up treasures in heaven. Number two, watch this. He said, for if thine eye be single, now, we have on our internet or on our computers, I'm very illiterate. I mean, I'm computer challenged, but I have picked up an odd and end every now and then. And down at the bottom, there's a bar down there at the bottom. I don't know if yours has that or not. I don't know whether mine's supposed to or not. But down there at the bottom, there is a shield. And I have found out that when that shield is there, when there is kind of a cross that comes up on it, some kind of an insignia comes up on that shield, I have learned to click on that thing and it will say there's something that's not secure. And it'll show me what's not secure and how to correct it. And so, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. When the Bible said, if thine eye be single, you know what the Bible is saying? Guard yourself. You see, because what happens is, what you and I see, what you and I take into us, what we take into our bodies, then what does that do? That affects us. And so what do? We go through the grocery store and we see that butter that used to be $2.29, now it's $4.20, almost double in price, and that has been probably a gradual trend, and we say, ooh, it's awful. What's happened? We're not guarding our thoughts, and we're not guarding ourselves against the influence of the outside. And therefore, ladies and gentlemen, when we do not do that, when then I come together to worship God on the first day of the week and I am contributing a part of my income to the work of the Lord, then I say, oh, wait a minute. I remember all this stuff back here. Number three. I call these the three keys to mastering your money. Number one, lay your treasures up in heaven. Number two, guard what goes into your mind. And number three, put God first. Put Him up there. Because the Bible said, that's what He said, man cannot serve God. You cannot serve God and mammon, or God and money. You cannot serve God and the world. You cannot serve both of them. I can't do it. You cannot do it. And so therefore, if I put God up there first, then He says to me, I'll take care of it. Now, let me suggest three reasons why you ought to do these three things. Number one is this. Money rots. You see, Jesus said, don't lay up treasures on the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. Okay? Money will rot. Secondly, money will blind us. You remember we said about the eye being single? Money will blind you to other things. And a third thing is, we want security. Now let me back up to that point number one, that money will rot. Go check your 401k. See what happened to it. Go check your stock. See what happened to it. Go call your banker and ask your banker, say, well, I guess I'm getting 5% on my CD. If you're getting 0.90%, you're probably doing good. What happened to the 4.5? What happened to all these adverts? Bring your money in here. Get it in here. We're going to give you 3.5. They won't even give you 1.25. You tell me that money doesn't rot. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there's only one safe, secure place that I can put my money. That's in hell. I tell you. It'll burn. It'll rot. It'll decrease. The value of a dollar, I don't know anything about this. But I understand the value of a dollar is not what it used to be. I don't understand all that. Now turn your Bibles in conclusion. I want you to look to 1 Timothy chapter number 6. And I want you to go with me to verse number 9. Number one, our first point in our lesson today were keys to mastering your money. Point number two was why you want to master your money and use those keys. Now, point number three is, look what happens if you and I do not master our money. Paul writes to this young gospel preacher Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter number 6 at verse number 9. He said, but they that are rich fall into, number one, temptation. Look what he said, those that are rich, what do they do? They fall into temptation. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when I began to look and I said, oh man, look what I have. I have this and I have that and I have this and I have that. And all of a sudden I think, you know what, man? I think I'm going to do this, 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 and this. Secondly, he said, they fall into temptation. They fall into a snare. Up in Chattanooga, Tennessee a few years ago, some brother come along and he said, now, Brother Ron, how would you like to make 14% on your money? Brother Ron said, wow. I make 14% on my money? Yeah. Yeah, you make. As a matter of fact, I've got some folks making 18%. Brother Ron goes to his good wife, well, let's get all our money together. We can get a second mortgage on our house and we can get an extra $25,000 and we can make 18, we can pay that mortgage off. So, you know what a lot of folks in the church up in Chattanooga did? They did that. But they fell into a snare. And the guy was a crook. And older people financed their house for $70,000, $80,000, $120,000 and lost it. Why not? That's what Paul said happened. And a snare. And listen to this. And in many foolish and hurtful lusts. You see, ladies and gentlemen, how right the Bible is. They drown men in destruction. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not standing up here today saying, well, here's some kind of a theory that I've learned. No, no, no. I'm telling you and I today, I'm telling us what the Bible says. Drown men in destruction. And he said, for the love of money, verse 10, is the root of all evil. While some coveted after, what have they done? They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, if you and I want to lay our head down upon our pillow tonight and go to sleep knowing that my earthly possessions are secure, commit yourself to God and all that you have to Him. You don't have to worry about a thing. If I remember back in elementary school when the Russians was going to bomb us, and they were going to come over here, these airplanes, and they were going to drop bombs on us, and we had all these drills. But then I thought, hey, look, if the Russians come over here, or now, if the Iranians nuke us, guess what? I just go in heaven and be with the Lord. Now you tell me a better plan than that. Just go on to heaven and be with the Lord. My friend, how do you master your money? Well, let me tell you, don't listen to Larry Acuff, but listen to God. Read the Bible. Study the Scriptures, because the Bible will guide us in the right direction.